This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threat of Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Hello, everybody. It's a Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m. till 3 p.m. on Cliff Central. I'm excited to be here. This is the Threat Exchange. And you know, this is a show that talks about things that are progressive, things that are cultured, things that are brave. And these are things that are being done by young people, African millennials. And for today's show, I'm really, really excited. I've got a guest that is very much, I would say, close to my heart a little bit. I've watched her grow personally, also as a colleague within the industry. And I really, really love what she's doing. Her name is Lerato Kgamanyane. You know she's lit on Twitter. She never wastes any time. Lerato, what are you saying to that?
Hi, guys. So lovely to be here. I'm happy to be here. And yes, I don't waste any time. So I'm excited to engage with you guys outside of Twitter, but rather here. So please direct all tweets and any questions you may have to Sia, so that we can chat a bit with you guys.
Yeah. But before we even start with the interview, and before, I know Joy is itching to talk, but relax. Relax. Everyone's going to talk. It's going to be nice. I want to first play a track for Lerato as a dedication.
Okay.
For her for being on our show. This is Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Upgrade You. Yo, I really like that beat. I really, really like that beat. Okay, cool. As I said before, our guest today is Usis Lerato Kgamanyane. I know she might hate me for saying that. Usis Lerato. She's a... I don't want to call her South African influencer. I really hate the term influencer, Lerato. Because influencer for me, it's very one-dimensional. It's like,
it's really
I
like
influence. Yeah. But Lerato actually works, guys. She's a scholar. She's a student. Let's start
all the influencers out there.
So she's actually a scholar. So she's studying, number one. So she's been studying for the last couple of years. At the same time, she runs her own digital company/agency called Headed and Rose. In her personal capacity, she's a consultant. And she's
keep
an events
going.
Manager. She runs an event. I forgot what it's called. The
Woman in Wealth. It's our first
there we
one
go.
This year. It's going to be a biannual event, and I'm very excited. Yeah.
Yeah. What does it look like a day in the life of Lerato right now?
It's very turbulent, but I enjoy it so much. It's turbulent in that, like, you can never tell what's going to happen. I could have a very easy day, or I could have a hectic day where things just hit me like left, right, and center. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. I enjoy that I can never predict what is coming up next, and it keeps me on my toes. So yeah, that's my I'm always on my toes. That's my life.
I know you hate school. How's that going?
I hate school so much.
How's that going?
School is dreadful, guys. Like, school is so, so dreadful.
Yeah, pumu cum laude. When you come first in the class, I think.
Yeah. Oi, la, not way. The class.
The year.
I don't even know, bro.
Is that when you got your
degree? Yeah, some people are like, no, I didn't just get a degree. I got my degree cum laude
with a distinction and we I'm hoping, but guys, school is dreadful. But I don't want to discourage anyone. But school is dreadful. I'm honestly doing it because it's generally for safe keeps, you know, for my career, and because we're not a country of ambitions like that as much as we want to be, or like, not necessarily ambitions, but we're still very, very conservative, and you know, careers are still dictated by your qualifications and you know. But I enjoy what I'm studying. I'm studying transport economics. It's hectic, very, very hectic.
What is that?
Transport economics is basically economics in the transport sector.
Oh, okay. You
know, that's it. Really, that's it.
Okay, so let me try and explain. So basically, the transport industry has its own economy.
Yeah, and every industry has its own economy.
Yeah,
so I want to get into that, you know, if all else fails, which I doubt it will. But yeah, guys, like, school is hectic. I'm taking it day by day. I'm writing exams soon. I've been killing myself with, like, books and everything. I'm fasting as we speak, so I haven't eaten. It's a lot. So, yeah.
Why are you fasting? You're fasting. I see a ring on your left finger, and now you're fasting. Now you're fasting. What does that even mean? Let's start. Are you fasting for marriage? Are you fasting for bridal dress? Are you fasting
from something?
Yeah, you know, like, are you fasting for a husband that's coming?
No.
Sensei Shalogo, I did a fast last week. I was fasting for wealth. I was like,
yes,
I'm gonna be a billionaire in the next 5 years. So
okay.
I was fasting without choice.
Yeah.
You were fasting because of him.
And Lambie the car was hungry.
No, guys, I'm fasting to regain my focus. Like, May is going to be such a hectic, well, this event and then going into May is going to be so hectic for me. As I said, I'm writing my exams, but I want to regain my focus. I feel like I've lost touch of my mental focus, and yeah, like, I just feel like everything is happening around me and it's a lot, you know, so I'm fasting to basically get centered. That's really it. And the ring, wouldn't y'all like to know?
I would.
Siyazithanda indaba. Siyazithanda indaba.
Actually, a gossip show.
Sifuna uTwitter kaloku. Siyazithanda indaba. Tell us.
It's just a band. I'm not engaged.
A promise ring.
It's a promise ring. Oh, I'm not engaged.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's amazing. Now, let's take a step back. When I met you, you were a young student, first year. You know, you had a very good eye for taste. You had a very good eye for color.
Yes.
How does that grow into what we know as Helen Rose? Tell us a bit about that journey.
I think the Lerato that you met before knew she wanted to be effective in the industry that she was going to be in, but she didn't necessarily have foot or ground for what she wanted to create or grow and whatever, you know. Everything was still so new to me. The space was new to me. And I was watching everyone do these things that I aspired to, but I was like, I need to make it my own. If I'm gonna have, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, own the space that I'm occupying, it needs to be directed by me. It needs to be my own, you know. And that journey of trying to figure out what I was going to do with Helen Rose was hectic, because I could have done anything with it, you know, but I knew that I had to make it my own, one. And secondly, because, you know, I always say my purpose is to emancipate women, to have a hand in the emancipation of women. So I always knew that it had to be effective in women's spaces. It had to be something that I could look at and be like, would I be proud of that woman? You know, would I be proud of the woman running this company or, you know, creating from this company and whatever, you know? So it's been very difficult. I mean, I remember, like, at some point it was stagnant. It was a registered company that was just sitting and nothing was happening, because I was like, what am I going to do? I need to be proud of this, you know? And it came to me that, okay, well, content is your first love, you know? How about stop writing just about yourself? Stop making it all about you. Create a platform or a hub where you can house content written by women, you know, for women, where women can share their perspectives. Women who don't necessarily have blogs, or even those who do, share their perspectives and share their content and their thoughts and their aspirations and their just everything on that platform. And let's make it ours as opposed to just Lerato's, you know. And that journey was also very hectic. You know, because it was risky. It was very risky. It could have been a website with bad content or a website that didn't necessarily move women, you know. And I'm proud to see what it's become. I'm proud to see that it's very relatable. I mean, I go on it and I'm still, I get goosebumps because I'm like, fuck, man. Ooh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
You can say here. Yeah, was a Tuga album. It's okay.
Yeah, so I go on it and I'm like, damn. Like, fuck, man. This is, fuck, man. This is mine. But more than anything, it's for women, by women, you know. So, yeah, it's been a journey. An exciting one, a painful one. between, you know, getting excluded from school, trying to go back, fights with the parents. Like, that journey was just...
Dating, breakups, friendships ending and starting.
You know,
it's a lot.
Clients this, clients that, firing people, hiring people.
Trying not to eat a lot, trying to handle bills.
Exactly, you know, trying to go to gym every day. It's too much. I can't. But yes, I've made it. I'm here. And yeah, we're doing well. We're doing
on Cliff Central.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Joe, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm very curious to know how is creating authentic content actually changing the face of society, especially with women being at the center of being the creators of that content?
I've always believed that at the center of women there's some authenticity. You know, we are a people that can't but not, like, we can't not be real with ourselves, you know, especially with the realities that we live in, the societies that we live in. How has creating authentic content changed the face of society? Well,
let me add on that. Do you think that your content is changing a narrative about women, and especially black women? And how do you think that is important for especially where we come from, you know, where black people come from in the hood, in the townships, in the rural areas, where women are still seen as unimportant. Women are still seen in a traditional manner of you belong in the kitchen. And now you're getting all these kids looking at your content. Do you think your content drives that narrative? And if so, how do you think it does that?
I think my content has changed the narrative. Because it's authentic, you know, it doesn't neglect where we come from. It doesn't neglect the fact that women are still, to this day, oppressed in their homes, in their workplaces, in society. It does not neglect that. We relay that. You know, the content on my page, on wherever, the content that I just share or relay, just me sharing a tweet, you know, never neglects the fact that women are still where we're not in a space of equality yet. You know what I mean? And I think it's effective in that, you know, it communicates to the young girl who perhaps sees her mom limited from resources, limited from her dreams or whatever. It speaks to her and says, listen, there are bigger things for me out there. You know, there are bigger things for me out there, and I see them. You know, I'm seeing them on this website. I'm seeing them from the women writing for this website and everything. They're doing so much, you know, so there's more for me out there, and there's more for you as well. The difficulty comes with the lack of support that we get from our counterparts. That's the difficulty, because I think women are standing like together now, you know what I mean? I think we're moving with one another. I think we're helping each other progress. You know, except the patriarchy princesses, obviously, and those who are just comfortable with being where they are. I'm not comfortable with women being where they are. I'm not comfortable with where I am, you know, but I think there's progression with how we're supporting one another. And I think that's as authentic as it can get. You know, we're true to ourselves. We're true to our struggles. We share that. But we also share that it can change, and we want it to change. And we are our change. You know what I mean? We honestly can't depend on anyone else but ourselves. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
How do you think your work and your company differentiates from brands and companies similar to what you're doing in South Africa?
The core of my business is women. And that for me, you know, yes, we can throw around things like, but you get male feminists, or you get men who support women.
Yeah.
But industries prioritize men. So what I wanted to do was take that away from men, because it's owed to us as well. It's owed to us to be prioritized as well. You know what I mean? So I think that's what differentiates it. And, you know, it's I know my truth, you know, and I believe if the person who's running the company, the head of the company, knows the truth of the company and knows their truth, then listen, like, not even the sky's the limit. But yeah, I think that's what differentiates it from other companies and other brands, that women are prioritized like nobody's business, but also that we at Hill & Rose know our truth.
K, Can I ask also something about women?
Yes.
You know, since women are the central part of your work.
Yes.
I always speak about, I look at racism in our country, you know, and I look at the world. I mean, when you're in Chopinier, you see the world completely differently because the world is very much revealed to you. As much as, you know, we can blame white people for apartheid and all those things, there's still a lot of barriers within ourselves as black people that we need to deal with.
Yes.
You know, there's certain, the way we see each other is completely fucked up. So there's still a lot of that. Do you think there are still mental boundaries within the society of black women? And what do you think those boundaries are?
There are definitely boundaries. And it's, I'm basically going to put it like with us black people rather.
Yeah.
Our mental boundary is we've sort of thrown away the concept of like Ubuntu, and not Ubuntu as in kindness or being helpful to the next person, but togetherness. Like we've lost our our communal spirit. Black people are a communal people, you know. You know, the next door neighbor probably raised you when your mom wasn't around. We're a very together communal people, and I see that in women as well. You know what I mean? Like we. Unfortunately, so many women lose their fight for us to sort of pull each other all together forward. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so I get my wins and sorry, you know, like that's it. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, the truth of the matter is no one owes anyone anything. But if we want the future that we always speak on, if we want to see women become what we always chant and speak on, you can't let go of that togetherness. You can't let go of that communal sense of being, you know? And it is a mental thing. It's a very mental thing. And humans are inherently selfish. That's fair. But as I'm saying, like, you can't, as someone who is oppressed, as someone who sees the next woman oppressed, want to progress by yourself and leave them on the wayside. You know what I mean? I don't know. For me, it wouldn't do well with my spirit if I did that. So yeah.
Damn. Yes, a server. Leonardo. Guys, Leonardo's serving us. Please, if you have any questions, you can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com. You can also tweet us at the Threaded Exchange. I'm going to let Leonardo just take a bit of a breather. We're going to also have a very, very strong debate about whether or not South Africa is ready for digital African women. You know, are we doing enough? You know, we look at entrepreneurship, but entrepreneurship is divided into industries. And, you know, with the spark of digital content, blogging, and those sort of women in that space turning into businesswomen, is the country doing enough for that kind of change to take place? But we're going to debate that on the other side of this. That was Fela Kuti, Rororo Fight, that's the name of the song. I still have Lerato Khamanyane in studio.
Still
I don't know. Each time I say it now, I always feel like I have to say it a certain. I can't be like Lerato Khamanyane.
No,
like,
you can't.
That's not an answer. It's like I've got Lerato.
Lerato.
I'm a Lerato.
You could call
Lerato Khamanyane. You know, you gotta put that extra, you know, Lerato Khamanyane.
The twang.
No twang.
The twang.
Twang.
I both. No.
Lerato, tell me.
Yes.
Five things that make you happy, and
oh
why they make you
goodness.
Happy.
Five things that make me happy. Imali.
Yes.
What else? Five things that make... Okay, yes. So money, food, my sister, my business, and prayer.
And prayer.
Yes.
Faith.
Yes.
That's very important. Faith. Do you... In the space that you work in, you get a variety of women who approach you, right? And a variety of women who have different perspectives and a different ways of seeing life. Mm. How important is acceptance of other people's differences and differences of opinion? Because we live in a time where, I mean, you sit every day on Twitter where people are being dragged for their own opinion. You get dragged for your own opinion all the time. You know, you sometimes disagree with certain things, like you disagree with the Glianci on certain topics, you know, and it becomes a heated thing.
Yes.
For you, where do you draw that line of like, I disagree, but you know what, do you?
I think the line should be organically drawn. I'm not your child. You did not raise me. We weren't raised in the same household. tell, you're lucky if I'm your friend and I agree with you, you know? And the line should be drawn organically, because as people we need to understand that we understand things differently, we yeah. see things differently, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, there are some really trash opinions. Like, if you are gonna say something like, she was wearing shorts, therefore she got raped, that's yeah. a stupid
or like
opinion.
Mm-hmm. Sabrina's you know, Sabrina Claudio, who's that chick is racist,
yeah, man. Sabrina Claudio. Well, an opinion that I think is dumb is that we should forgive her. She's a racist, and that's that. Done. That's my opinion, yeah. you know? And it's because I don't believe racist apologists. I just don't. I think if that's something you chose as a human being, to hate someone else based on their color, that's sick. That's not something I can forgive you with, whether you apologize or not. It's sick. That's a sickness, you know? And that's something you're going to deal with yourself. Like, keep it. But yes, we're allowed to have different opinions as human beings, and we need to understand that we're different people. We think differently. We experience things differently. You know what I mean? Like, recently I did a think piece with Cosmopolitan on whether, like, trigger warnings are necessary, you know, and I'm very neutral when it comes to trigger warnings. And my think piece was to disagree. And I'm not at all neglecting the fact that we're all sensitive to something, you know, but the copy isn't out. So I'll tell you guys, I'm going to challenge you guys to go read my opinion and why I say that trigger warnings are not necessary. And basically what I will say a bit on that is because we live in a society that is ruthless. We are a ruthless people. You know what I mean? And you're not going to go into the world and there's going to be trigger warnings. The world is ruthless. Business is ruthless. Life is ruthless. No one is here for you. That's the truth. Yeah. But yeah, get your copy next month.
You die alone.
You honestly.
Like, haters can hate on you on Twitter all they want. It's like, when you die alone, so why should you care? I get that. I really get that. Because you do have, especially in this industry of ours, you do start with that whole thing of, I love everybody, let's all be friends,
yes,
let's all be cool.
Hey.
Remember those times we were all like,
yes, we were all like,
then,
yes,
and then life happens, jealousy happens, backstabbing happens, rumors happen, you know,
money
people
happens.
Feel money happens. Yeah. A lot of things just happen. Yeah. People become more famous. People leave. People yeah. go. People fail. People succeed. People
but I think
get
the
married.
Most, the
people,
most people do get married.
People
and
have babies.
Pregnant.
Yeah. So
you know,
a lot is
so
happening.
A lot
like,
happens.
Yeah.
But I think what we can take from that is we are our own people. You yeah. see, like we say, people do this, people do that. People are their own people. And as long as you're true to yourself, nothing else matters. Everything yeah. can be for the birds. Nothing yeah. matters. Yeah.
Now let's get into my deep discussion. All these boys are so mesmerized.
Dum-dum-dum.
Like you.
The Monday and the carpet. So I'm like,
their jaws are hanging. Their jaws, like, they can't handle black magic.
Hey,
black excellence.
Love. Yeah.
Sauce.
So, being a black woman in business in South Africa, how is it?
Yo.
Is it great? Is it fucking difficult? Is it? Do you wish you didn't live here? Do you think our country does enough to support women in business and especially young women in business?
Does not. Being a woman in business is not for the faint-hearted. And so many a times I always like think to myself like, God, why? Like, why was I called to do this? You know, I could do something else, you know, but why this, you know? And I always say it's like, you know, the chicken licking ads, like that monkey. You can try leave what you're called for, it's going to creep up. And I was called to do this, you know, for women. And no, South Africa is not doing enough for women, young women in business. The world is not doing enough for young women in business. It is difficult. It is difficult, but you always remember the end goal. You always remember why you started. And I guess that's what keeps me going day to day to day. You know what I mean? And I always, always say that, you know, there's been so many times where I wanted to pull the plug, but I knew I had to do it for the people that I'm doing it for.
Yeah.
And I'd rather go to bed hungry with my car not paid, with my rent not paid, but know that the people who are working with me to the progress and growth of Hill & Rose are paid and they're eating and they're sleeping with roofs over their heads. I would rather be the one who doesn't have any of that, because, you know, they're agents in this company. They're agents to my big dream, and they deserve everything, you know. So yeah, no, it's hard. It's so hard. So, yeah, it's difficult.
You spoke about the end goal. What is the end goal?
Let me plug you in, Anga. There we go.
Yeah. You spoke about the end goal. What is the end goal?
The end goal for Helen Rose is very broad. Like I said, my personal purpose is to have a hand in the emancipation of women. What I want Helen Rose to achieve is to become the biggest hub for African women's narratives. I want for your Ferragamas, your Louis, your agencies, you know, your to come to me and be like, listen, we see we fuck up. We don't get your narrative. And they don't. To this day, they don't understand the African narrative. They don't understand the African woman's narrative. Mm. I want Helen Rose to be that body where they can visit and be like, yo, we want to release a, I don't know, a 30-piece collection for women inspired by African silhouettes, you know? And they can come to me and I'll give them what they need. If a writer wants to write about Africanness and being an African woman, she can come to me and she'll have references, you know, to write on, because they don't get us. They don't get us. Mm. That's the end goal for Helen Rose. But yeah, that's what I'm doing it for, guys. Like, yeah.
When do you think the turning point for you was in terms of actually discovering that there isn't a platform and there isn't a hub, that there's that a collective of African women that understand that their actual narrative are situated in? Mm. And when was the gap for you? When did you realize that?
I realized that when I couldn't find one. When was this? 2 years ago? Yes, 2 years ago, when I couldn't find one. Where every website I went on, a man was writing, or it was dedicated to men, or but nothing was like specifically dedicated to women when I couldn't find one. And you know, funny enough, I don't know if like the listeners know whatever, but our logo is like a blush pink and everything. I remember I always, before I knew anything about like insurance or cars or whatever, I was always like, oh my gosh, I want to do something like First for Women, you know, like what they have going on and stuff. And I guess the colors were drawn from that and everything, because they are an insurance company that are dedicated to women drivers, right? So I was like, I'm going to be a woman who is going to build, you know, a hub woman to write. Yeah, so when I couldn't find one 2 years ago, I was like, no, I need to do this for us.
Amazing. Oh yeah, sorry.
I think for a long time women have been told how to live their lives, told you must be a stay-at-home mom, whatever. How do you think we can encourage younger women to stand up against men and industry? And
it's on you guys. It's on men.
Men.
We know what we're struggling with. We know how we're objectified. We know the limitations that are set on us. It's for you guys to be that drop in the ocean, you know. Your sons, your brothers, teach each other, speak to one another, you know what I mean? Like, you know, hear what women are crying about, hear what your girlfriends are crying about, your sisters are crying about, and be agents of change for that, you know what I mean? Because that's all we want from you guys. We just want for you guys to back us. You know, stop catcalling us, stop raping us, stop. Just support the fuck out of us. That's all we want. So it's on you guys.
Like, let's talk about rape in South Africa.
Yes.
I was reading a tweet, I think it was this morning, and it was just chatting about, you know, there was an American girl that posted a picture of her wearing a certain outfit. And then another, you know, South African girl was like, yo, I wish, of course that's not South Africa, because South Africa would be raped for just dressing that way. And most of the time, as men, we're guilty of, we see these things, and let's all be honest, as men, we don't take it seriously because it's not happening to us. So there's no sense of emergency. You're like, oh, it's fucked up, people are being raped. And you're like, okay, let me watch TV. And you don't take it like personally that, yo, this is someone's daughter, this is someone's sister. Unless it happens to you personally, then you take it all of a sudden, ah, oh, fuck rapist, whatever, whatever, when you actually didn't care to even begin with about it. Leonardo, can you share some light on the urgency for men to actually take this shit seriously? Like, Because as a guy, I can sit here and say, yeah, guys, let's take it seriously. But I'm not a victim. Yes. I don't know what it's like to be a woman in South Africa. I don't know what it's like to be a woman in corporate where a guy, you want to do business, guy's like, oh, let's go to dinner.
Of course.
You know, and you don't
You know, you're not dealing with that every day. Like, I just want you to paint a picture for the, even the guys in the room. How bad is it actually? Is it that bad where as a woman you feel step out of your house, you could die at any time? Yes. Is it really that bad?
You know, I think... I always compare it to racism. White people will never atone because they don't get it. White people will never be bothered about racism because they're not going through it. They are at the winning end. Mm. They are at the privileged end. Same with rape. Men are at the privileged end of rape. They get what they want, they objectify us, and they move on with their lives. You know what I mean? But it's the scariest, scariest thing to walk out of your house, try and take a jog. I don't even run anymore because of the like the climate of things. You know what I mean? It's the scariest thing because more than anything, it undermines you as a woman. Someone taking away your right to consent. Someone saying, basically what it says is, my love, you're nothing. And I can take what I want from you, how I want from you, and that's it. It's painful. It's really, really, really painful. And, you know, you'll never get it until you're going through it. I've never been raped, you know, but I'm still a woman in South Africa. You know, I'm still a woman who's been abused. You know, I'm still a woman who's been victimized by men and who's been scared off by men and stuff. It's very scary. It's very scary. It's... Every single day you live your life with fear. Every single day you hope you get home. I hope that paints a picture. I hope that paints a picture. I want to be able to walk out of Cliff Central and get to my mother's house safe and sound and in one piece.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
And tell me, like, as a woman who's been through that experience of abuse, yes. How do you even begin to look at men and look at us?
Yes.
You know, because... That experience can just want to put you off of men completely. So how do you even begin to love again?
It did.
To be in a relationship? And is it a constant healing process for you?
Yeah. It definitely put me off men completely. I didn't even understand why you guys existed, you know? Sometimes I don't to this day. I really, like, I think you guys are some unnecessary bunch, you know? And that's my personal opinion. But it's a day-to-day thing. You know, it's a day-to-day thing. You have to sort of... You have to make it about you. Let me say that. I had to make it about myself and realize that it wasn't my fault. This was just someone who was going through their own stuff. Someone who's sick. Someone who didn't respect me. That doesn't take away the love that I had for myself and the respect that I have for myself. And stuff. And it's difficult because, you know, your friends will always be like, just leave, just leave, just leave. We know why we haven't left. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell an abusive man, I'm leaving. He'll kill you. I mean, how I left, like, was insane. I just ran away with my stuff and left whatever was left at his place. You know, it's the scariest thing in the world. And you see men, you guys were vultures in my eyes. You know, I was just like, oh my goodness. Men are just out to do them and get what they want from women and that's it. You know, but it is a process and not everyone's healing process is going to be the same. For me, isolation worked for me. It really worked for me. And fortunately at the time, I was at UJ at the time. I had such a good group of friends who helped me keep it together. You know, I still have an amazing grandmother who I told all of this to, and she was there, you know, and it's important to have a support because you feel weak. So it's important to have a support system that wants to see you get better and wants to see you thrive more than anything. It's an inner thing. And you know, it was then really where I realized that happiness is an inside job. You know what I mean? You're not going to be happy with anything unless you make yourself happy. And I had to get back to that Lerato. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yo, the guys, it's so silent in the room.
It
I think
is, yeah.
Everybody is in awe.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? So, I always, when I have my guests on my show, I always chat to them about the fact that fame is something you never see coming.
Yeah.
It happens. It's not like you wake up one day and you're famous or one day you're not. It's just, it becomes this thing of, first up, yeah, you see one person, they're like, oh, I love your stuff. You're like, oh, that's cool. Great. Then it becomes three people, then it becomes five people. And then before you know it, it's like 20 people and it's 100 people.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that gradual growth of like your platform getting bigger and receiving so much more reception? And how do you actually keep it together? Because being a public figure is fucked up because
yes.
You can go through the most, but
basically don't have.
Yeah,
life.
Like you must be Lerato. You can't have a bad day. Yes. Someone told me once, I'm like, I'm having a bad day, I'm sick, and I was going to Rosebank to get something, and someone was like, you look so ugly, like what the fuck? I'm like, but I'm tired and I'm sick. He's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So to
like
people, you're not even a human, you're an object.
Yeah.
So how do you
you're a public figure.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that?
I struggle with anxiety. I'm very, like, I get very anxious of people and overwhelmed. But, you know, I realized slowly that it's all love. It's really all love. You know, someone coming to you and saying, oh my goodness, I appreciate your work, or your website has done so much for me, and is very endearing. So, that's the good end of it. That's the good portion where you realize that, man, it's all love and these people just appreciate what you do and stuff. You know what I mean? It's difficult because, say, I had a similar incident at the airport once. I looked like, I don't know what happened to me. I was basically in my pajama pants and Uggs and I was flying out. And so someone recognized me. Hey, are you Lerato? Yes, yes, yes. How are you? Great. You look such a mess. You look so tired.
You're at the airport.
I'm like, girl, what?
You're at the
airport. Are you for real?
Human.
Are you serious? It's a flipping 9 a.m. flight and you think I'm going to have my lashes on and no, bye, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sucky end of it. The fact that you're always expected to be at your best, and also, you know, we have a duty to ourselves as public figures. We have a duty to ourselves to communicate those things to the general public. That, yo, I'm really human. I'm not going to have my lashes on at 9 a.m. at the airport. I'm flying out, you know? And my work is still... If you're consistent with your work, that's all that should matter.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's not the case. But we have a duty to ourselves to also, you know, remind ourselves, you chose this life. You know, and you chose to get into this, you know, and therefore you're going to have to ride the wave of the climate it's at.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's difficult. It's very difficult. The bad side is everyone feels like, you know,
they know you.
They know you. Or they can have an opinion over something.
Yeah.
When they have no grounds to.
Everybody is an expert to your life.
Yes.
And you're like, but what the fuck? I don't even know you. Like,
dog.
Now, quickly before the show ends, yes, this time rhymes, man.
I feel so good
because I'm like listening to you. I'm like, this sounds so good. Let's chat about your event.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about? Why is it important? Who's going to be there? Tell us about this event.
So,
this is literally marketing. Market, sell this event.
Sell yourself.
7 minutes. You have 7 minutes.
Sell the shit out of this event. Let's go.
Anyway, the Helen Rose Women and Wealth event is something that I sort of worked on together because I wanted for women to grow their networks. For instance, my, you know, women network isn't big enough, I believe. And I feel like women should grow their networks. But in the process, they should engage on something that's very important to them. So this first one, like I said, it's going to be a biannual event. So two every year. And this first one is on financial wellness. For me, this was important because I literally went through such a tough time between the last 6 months of last year and this year, trying to figure out my finances, my company's finances, trying to sustain myself and still, you know, pursue the things that I wanted to pursue. And I was like, you know what? It's very important for women to engage on financial wellness. It's very important for women to know why, you should be financially sound and financially literate. You know what I mean? Women run households. Women run companies. You know, women work, you know, 9-to-5s and whatever. And it's important for us, and especially because women are not a demographic with financial freedom like men are. You know, it's been taken away from us so much that we've had to rebuild ourselves. We've had to sort of look at our mothers or our grandmothers and be like, damn, I need to build now. I need to work so hard. And I come from a family of just women, you know. And for me, I look at them and I'm like, I need to work so hard to pull us further up. You know what I mean? And so it's important to be financially sound as a woman. So yeah, the guest speakers are going to be Gugu Mofokeng. She's a financial wellness expert and a personal development coach. Vanessa Masilo, amazing, amazing entrepreneur. Tebiso Ralehlate, supermodel. Supermodel, yeah. One of the best to come out of this country, and she's a mom. And Bubu Ndlela, who is the founder of it's Nenhla Ndlela, sorry, her handle is Bubu. Anyway, it's Nenhla Ndlela, who's the founder of Your Cocoa Ice Cream. So she is a woman who knows everything about the struggles of having a startup and how you can go about, you know, just excelling in that.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited to have them there. I'm really excited to have the guests there, and just to, like I said, to grow our networks and engage with one another on important topics such as this. So yeah, guys, don't forget your business cards, because we're going to do the most.
Yeah, guys, check out the Helen Rose event. What date is it?
It's on the 21st of April, so next week Saturday.
Yeah,
at
venue?
The Garden Boutique Hotel in Roodepoort.
How much North is a Riding. Ticket? Where can
a
we
ticket
buy
a ticket? 450 rand. You can buy a ticket through info@helenrose.co.za, and you'll get all the details there. Check out our pages and you can also get your information there. So yeah, guys, see you there.
Lerato, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an amazing time, and I'm super excited that you came to join us.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a song to close the show. I feel like I just can't do you justice. I think I'm gonna probably play out with Magic by Laura Mvula, because I think you're magic. I think you're incredible. Aww. Amount of magic. Guys, gents, checking out?
Yeah. It was, wow. Okay,
guys, I'm Sebi on the Third Exchange. Do join us again next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.